podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Burning Question series by Fantasy Football Scout. In this series, Harry and I, Sonaldo, talk about the key hot topics for the week. We are all the way up to game week 34 with an exciting double coming up, to say the least. Excited to be hosting again. It's been 2 weeks since the last pod. So, Harry, how are you doing, my friend? Ooh, I think you're muted. Great start.
Great start. I'm on mute. 5 weeks left of the season, 3 doubles, 2 chips to be played. This is exciting times. And I'm good apart from that as well. Just been back, being in Liverpool on a stag do this weekend. And I'm still recovering from it. But feeling better today. How about you? How are you getting on? Nice to have you back.
Yeah, I mean, life has been busy. Once again, work travel. So it's been a tough season for me pod-wise just because of the intense traveling. But everything else is good. Still keeping tabs with my FPL team, of course. But most excited about this game week. So let's see where our thoughts lead to. I know right before the pod, I'm moving to the next slide. You were mentioning something about, what do you call bachelor parties in New York?
A stag do.
Yeah. So a fun fact that I learned, that it's called stag do. Okay. Apologies if the sound is a little weird, guys. If you have any feedback, please feel free to put it in the chat. I'm unfortunately using a lesser quality mic, so we're doing the
sounds
best we
fine
can today. Okay, I think volume levels.
Who's too loud? Who's too quiet? Let us know, and then we'll just fiddle around with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, how did last week go for you?
Yeah, so not good. I mean, like, you can see the points here. I think we're heading towards a very similar team by Game Week 34, unfortunately or fortunately. Okay, so volume's okay.
Yeah.
But not good. I think, what am I, 48K now? I know it says Mo there, but just struggling to get points is what I like to say. And also really unfortunate with the Ait Nouri situation, Harry, because I thought he was like such a good buy personally the last 3 game weeks, and just on the cusp of greatness, you know what I mean? Like 54th minute sub, injury. I mean, it just sucks. So that's the only thing that's kind of eaten me up. Besides that, everyone else struggled to get points. So a tough week for me. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the only differences between our teams is I had Gusto over Yuzabani, and then I got very lucky with Ben White this week. Of course, he got booked in the first half. So as a result, he got taken off after 65 minutes and banked the clean sheet. And when he went off, I was actually sat there thinking, hang on a minute, I actually want Aston Villa to score now, because Gabriel and Saliba's ownership combined was over 100%. So when that clean sheet wipeout went, I suddenly thought, yeah, Ben White 5 points is quite nice. The Gusto return, and then, yeah, not much elsewhere of that. So Palmer, Solanke, Haaland, captain, I think I dropped about 1,000 places. So pretty standard week for me. Just those two players making the difference between us.
Were you there at that Chelsea game in person?
I was. What game of football? I mean, it's one of those things. As a Chelsea fan, I fully expected, even at like 2-0, 3-0, that we'd do something stupid and throw it all away, right? And we'd lose that clean sheet, or, yeah, that they'd score, or they'd start to come back into the game knowing how we've thrown games away recently. So it was, yeah, good to see us actually hold out a performance. Everton didn't have too much about him. Of course, the key talking point of the game was the Chelsea players fighting over the penalty, which is always lovely to see when you're 5-0 up. Sounds like that's been dealt with. Some young players on the pitch, you know, wanting to boost themselves, get on the score sheet, but that's not the way to go and do it, especially when Cole Palmer is now joint top goal scorer in the Premier League. What a guy, what a signing he is, man. I absolutely love to see it. He didn't play the first 7 weeks of the season and has the same number of goals as Erling Haaland. Let's hope he gets it. Let's hope he wins the Golden Boot.
What's his age, by the way, Cole Palmer?
Is he 20?
That's insane.
He's 20.
Yeah.
Or is he? I don't know. I think he was 20 when we signed him.
Yeah,
he's 21 now.
Getting to 20 plus goals a season is so damn hard. And even when Salah and Sun won their Golden Boots, it was like around 23, 24 goals. So he's already there, 20 goals. And
Yeah.
this would be like one of those rare moments where if he is awarded the Golden Boot winner, he would win it over the Holland era, right? So incredible, incredible.
Yeah, it'll be crazy if he wins the Golden Boot when there's someone like Erling Haaland in the league. I completely agree. He's got one more to go, one extra game between now and the end of the season on top of Erling Haaland. So let's see what happens. I think it's very possible now.
Yeah,
I think it's
yeah.
very possible, and I hope he does it. Deserves it.
What's the deal with him in Euros? Is he going to, like, they've got to
He'll
fit
be
him
in the
in, right?
squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be in the squad. I don't know whether he'll start. That's a whole nother. You could do a whole podcast on whether Cole Palmer or whether what the England lineup should be.
Yeah.
He'll definitely go now, and I'm sure he'll be involved, but to start matches, I think unlikely.
Yeah, Bellingham, Foden, it's not going to be easy.
Saka, yeah. Yeah, it's hard. There's not much space in that attack. So, yeah, I expect him to be involved, and play minutes, but yeah, I'm not sure he'll be starting matches yet.
It's crazy, man. He's so reliable, and
Yeah.
potential captaincy options coming soon after the game week, right?
Yeah, I mean game week 25 and then even game week 30, sorry, 35 and even game week 37 will be interesting. If Man City win the league before the end of game week 37, you know what we saw last year, there was
Yeah.
mass rotation. So you've got to be thinking that potentially you could be putting it on Cole Palmer. Yeah, so he's a very FPL relevant player between now and the end of the season with two doubles coming up, but not this week away at Arsenal.
Yes, and I'm a big fan. Seems so nonchalant about the way he walks around and acts, and then just a killer on the field, you know.
Yeah, he just seems like so casual that the fact that he scored like
Yeah,
20 goals this
yeah.
season and every game he's like, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it.
Awesome. But that penalty situation was a mess. You know,
Yeah.
it was not good to see. But let's move on. So the fixtures, mainly today we're going to be focusing on game week 34, right? So what I mean by that is the doubles. I think we're going to deep dive a little bit into the Arsenal Liverpool assets. There's a lot of variations at play now, and still the Arsenal Bayern Munich game tonight to watch out for, or is it tomorrow to watch out for?
Tonight.
Tonight, exactly. And who gets rotated, rested here will be very interesting. And then I really want to talk about Crystal Palace, because my interest in Crystal Palace is way high. I think they look really good. And Ulise is no one to just forget about, even though Eze seems like the obvious one on paper. So I want to debate that a bit. I love having Mateta in my team. This was thanks to you a couple of game weeks ago to get him in. And he's performed since I brought him in, even though he's been on my bench. So really interesting Crystal Palace topic there. And then we'll talk about free hit, like a free hit team we made. We're both not on free hit, unfortunately. And then what moves we'll be making at the end. So exciting pod, to say the least. Anything to add here?
I did a poll on Twitter and 35% of people were free hit this week and 35% were wild card next week. So what's that? 70% of the game are basically picking players for just this one week, which very rarely happens. So yeah, that we will talk about players between now and the end of the season, but we're mainly just focusing on this week because so many of those people watching are.
Okay, so let's begin with Arsenal. So let me talk about a little fixture thing I've been seeing, and then we can dive into the players a little bit, if you don't mind. So what I have here is a slide from December. So December 10th to December 31st, where they had a span of basically six fixtures, and rest time between these games was like 3 to 4 days maximum. So in this game versus Aston Villa, like, I feel like Arsenal should have somewhat put the game to not to bed, but at least be winning in the first half. They were really good in the first half. Odegaard looked great. And in the first half, they had 20 plus opposition touches, whereas in the second half, they had just under 10, I believe. So on top of that, Aston Villa had hit the post two or three times before their 80 something minute goals. So what that tells me is that while Arsenal are dominating possession and look good attacking wise, that's not enough, right? You need to be lethal. You need to finish these games, especially if you want to win a title. And I feel like they let this game slip through their hands. Whereas Aston Villa might not be possessing the game as much as Arsenal do, but they hit the post two or three times. So that tells you a lot about sort of the lethalness that was lacking in this game. I think them losing the last two games is not as worrying as sort of what I've seen in the form against Bayern Munich and Aston Villa. Maybe, sorry, maybe they didn't lose against Bayern. They tied, right?
Yeah, true.
They drew. So this is like the clutch part of the season. Again, we're getting into football talk here where they need to perform. And sorry, Arsenal fans, I'm trying to be realistic here. And look at this December period, Harry. They struggled, right? They struggled in this 2 to 3 kind of rest period. And then you go to this next slide, which is January, February. Absolute domination, right? 5-0, 6-0, 4-1. And they had like 7 day, 8 day, 6 day, 2 week rest between these games. What's confusing to me is, like, on paper, their sub lineup looks great, like Trossard instead of Martinelli, Jorginho, Havertz, you have Jesus, all these players that look great on paper, ESR. But I think Arsenal are quite heavily reliant on their starting 11, like whatever that starting 11 in form in patches might be. And then you go back to this April window where, okay, they drew against Man City, they beat Luton, they beat Brighton, they tied Bayern Munich, and then they lost to Aston Villa. But from that Man City game till now, it's another period of 3, 4 days and not that January, February window. So we go back to December and the cracks are starting to show against Aston Villa. Like, because from Man City all the way to Aston Villa, they basically had no rest in between these games, right? So I think something to consider, the first point I'll make, and we'll discuss this, is that A, I think they're very heavily reliant on their starting 11, and B, it is really like crunch time in terms of the schedule at this point in time. So yeah, let me know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I get that the schedule is tight, but I'm not sure I believe this quite as much. Like, you look at the previous slide where they were winning all those games. There were midweek games in that round. So there was midweek rounds of game weeks, and they still, like, they beat Liverpool straight after to playing weekend midweek, and then they play Liverpool and they beat them 3-1, right? I still, if they didn't have that Bayern game where they dropped points and they just had this Villa game, we wouldn't be massively worried about them. So I don't have massive concern about this Arsenal team. I think they will still bounce back. Now, if they get knocked out of the Champions League, having just lost to Villa, that might be a bit of a confidence knock more than anything. But I still back them as being the best defense in the league, and up there is one of the best attacks in the league. They didn't take their chances against Villa. Villa tactically second half set up so well, and they finished their chances that they got. I still like Arsenal for this double. I actually don't have as much concern over them in this schedule compared to some of the others. They also changed their lineup a little bit. Like, as Gary is saying, they benched Jorginho, and that someone, one of the pundits, I can't remember pre-game who it was, but said that it was really weird that they've won all these games with a Jorginho Rice playing together, and then just took Jorginho out to try and fit Havertz in midfield, and it just didn't work. So I fully expect Jorginho to play and to play the upcoming games, and as a result, I still think they will be a good team. Now, if Zinchenko plays, I think it massively hampers them. I am not a Zinchenko fan. I think he is a massive liability defensively, and I don't think he adds enough going forward. I don't think they need him for the attacking threat that he adds, that he should be anywhere near that Arsenal lineup between now and the end of the season. I really don't. Gabriel Jesus, they signed a good player there from City, but Zinchenko is not at it. You see some of the clips from him at the weekend, and how he is still playing in a title-challenging team. I have absolutely no idea. So I expect he'll come out. I really do. And I think Arteta will see it. And he's been ruthless before, and I think he'll come out. And I think Kvyat, who was pretty good, right?
Cure is
He
good,
played
man.
what?
Yeah, he's good.
Like, he played like 8 games in a row. He was part of the, they won them all. And now he's come back in. Kvyat or Zinchenko or Tomiyasu will play left back. Jorginho will come back in, and I expect them to win Wolves. I expect them to beat Chelsea. So I don't have much. I don't have the same negativity towards them. They didn't do well. They didn't finish well against Villa, but I have no doubt that they'll win both games in the double.
Yeah, that's a very level-headed answer. I appreciate that. And yeah, you should start your football podcast last next year. I mean, you're talking real sense here because, as Gary mentioned, Jorginho being out was critical because I think Jorginho was rested for this Bayern game. But what happens when, if you look at this chart, look, I'm not a coach or anything, but if you look at this chart, when Jorginho plays, Rice plays ahead of him, and then it's Havertz up top solo. This is when Arsenal is most effective by what I mean by starting 11. If Havertz plays midfield like he did in the early part of the season, it's really just not as effective because Jorginho, Rice, Havertz, that line works really well. So I think you need to drop Jesus. I think they need to play Havertz solo top. And maybe Jesus plays on the left, but even then, Trossard is not wide enough. He's coming way too inside to be pulling defenders out, right? So I think if Havertz plays solo top, they have more because also when Jesus plays, what also happens is Odegaard drops deeper and deeper. I mean, it's all intertwined here, right? So I think Zinchenko, Jesus are liabilities right now. I hate to say it, and maybe there's a reason why City said, yeah, take these players, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure Jesus so much because they've been playing pretty well, and he's been playing pretty well for the past couple of weeks. I do think that Havertz can play up front, but yeah, I agree. If they're playing Havertz in the midfield, meaning Jesus is up front on his own, and Zinchenko, but I think Arteta's clever enough. I think he'll see it. I think he'll have seen it,
He needs
and
to
I
drop
don't think.
Jesus. I believe that. Like, I'm not saying Jesus is a bad player, Harry, but there's just too big of a gap between like QAR and Jesus when he plays. I don't know if that makes sense.
I mean, I think Martinelli should be. I mean, sorry, the reason I paused is Matthew just made a comment that Martinelli isn't playing because he's not as good as Arsenal. I still think Martinelli should be in that team. I still think he's good enough, but I don't really care who that last attacker spot is, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Trossard, whether it's Martinelli. I don't really care. I think they all have different benefits. But I agree. I think Havertz should be that focal point. And as a Chelsea fan, it pains me to say it, but I think they're much better when he plays there. And they're much better without Zinchenko. And I think both of those will happen. Interesting what happens in the game tonight. I think massive, massive implications on what happens tonight. Because if they win, that will be such a boost to them. And then you can look at the Villa game as a blip, right? But if they get knocked out, what is that going to do to their confidence going into the
Definitely.
weekend? But if they lose, the only thing they've got left is to try and win the league, right? The only thing they've got left is to try and win the league, and then you can write it like that. So I'm kind of trying to forget a little bit about the. I've got my triple Arsenal. It is what it is. I'll forget about the results, and I'll see what happens in the double. And I'm not massively put off by previous results, actually.
Yeah, good talk. Okay, so let's say for the free hitters, if we had to choose three Arsenal players, you know, obviously you, I think you're both, we're both on double defense, right?
Yeah, I got White, you've got Saliba. But
Yeah.
if I was on free hit, I'd go double attack. My free hit drafts that I built have double attack in them. And I'd have Saka, Havertz. I just can't look past Havertz playing up front. I'd just take the chance on a. Like, he probably won't start every game between now and the end of the season. But, minutes. Actually, previous minutes have said he probably will. So, yeah, I can't turn down Havertz. And I think they might keep one clean sheet in the double. I don't think they'll keep two. So as a result, I'd go double attack.
I mean, I want to counter what you just said. I think Havertz is undroppable right now. Like, he's ahead of Jesus, if Arteta is making sense. So
So if
if,
you were on a free hit and you
yeah.
went double defense,
Okay.
which midfielder would you own?
Probably Saka, obviously.
Would you go Saka over Havertz, even if you think Havertz
I
is
think so.
undroppable?
I think so. Yeah.
It's just Havertz has four double-digit returns in the past 8 weeks. Like, that is crazy.
I think if you're chasing, yeah, go
Yeah.
ahead.
So as a result, I would just have Saka, Havertz. Like, I would just own both of them. I don't want to have to answer that question of which one I would own. So I would just own both.
Yeah, fair. I like Havertz, but he has to be starting solo up top. He cannot be starting with And I think they will. I think we'll see it this game too when Jorginho comes back into the fold.
Yeah, I agree.
But I
I
agree.
think Partey is
Zinchenko,
Partey back as well.
Partey's back. I think he's back. And
I
this,
mean, he could play over Jorginho if they need to rest, but the point
exactly.
is they cannot drop Odegaard deep
They can. Well,
and play Havertz in midfield. They can't do that.
they
They
can.
need Rice plus one of Jorginho
Exactly.
Partey.
Because Rice actually cannot play the Jorginho Partey role as well as they do, and
Yeah.
Jorginho Partey role cannot play the Rice role as well as Rice does, because Rice creates havoc in that midfield area, as you see in this photo here. And Jorginho and Partey are better than Rice at getting the ball forward. They're actually better, like, surprisingly, they're better than just side-to-side passers, right? They're able to get the ball forward. Havertz comes deeper, comes like the Firmino role, like creates play. But when Havertz plays where Rice is and Rice plays where Jorginho plays, Odegaard has to come deep to receive the ball. I've just been noticing that. So as long as Jesus is dropped, Havertz plays up top, and it's Rice and Jorginho in that midfield, then Arsenal look good. But that fatigue, that scheduling I mentioned earlier, is what's adding up to them they're struggling to rotate, even though I'm confused because on paper their rotation looks great. Do you know what I'm saying?
It is. Their rotation and their depth is not bad, but there are so many of them that they just won't rotate. Like Odegaard's not going anywhere, right? Saka's not going anywhere. Havertz is not going anywhere. So although they have depth to rotate in minutes, it's actually only one spot in their front six that they're ever going to change, right? So they have the depth, but they're just not going to use it. Which is, I mean, if I was Arteta, I wouldn't want to rest Odegaard, Saka, Havertz. Like I wouldn't want to do it. Rice, you know. So they have the depth, but they don't massively need to use it. But I think from our point of views, if you're on double defense, absolutely fine. Don't go do anything about it. But if I was on free hit, I would just go double attack.
Agree. Totally agree. Nice.
Would you
Okay.
own, if you're on, so would you, it would just be Gabriel as well, wouldn't it?
I think Gabriel over White for sure. If it's going to be
But if you
defensive.
were owning two, would you go White over Saliba now?
I would go to
Okay.
Gabriel
Yeah, I
plus White.
agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No need for Saliba. He's not attacking at all. No threat there. It'd be very random if he gets a bullet header. Yeah, people mentioned that PSG game yesterday. Such a good game.
So I we're completely off topic here, but so I'm a big advocate for the away goals rule in Champions League football. And I just remember nights of Chelsea where, you know, the away goals rule has had a massive impact on the game. But you do notice that a lot of the Champions League games now have more goals in them. And a lot of people think that's because people are less, like, home teams don't defend as much because they are less scared of away goals. And therefore the home team goes and attacks much more. And so we get a lot more exciting games like we've had. But what a crazy, you know, 2 weeks of Champions League football we had, and I'm
Crazy.
sure it won't stop tonight, man.
Yeah. Sometimes we're so invested in FPL and the Premier League that we forget how amazing the Champions League is, you know. I'm sort of been following PSG because of we have a Korean player there next to Mbappe, and dude, Mbappe is unbelievable. Like, I think
Matt,
he
that
might
Real Madrid team next year.
yeah. I genuinely think Mbappe might is arguably the best player in the world, right? So he was unbelievable yesterday.
He hasn't scored as many goals in the Prem as Cole Palmer has. We'll have that conversation once he's done that.
That is true. Cole Palmer is levels above.
What a guy. Anyway, Liverpool.
Liverpool,
Liverpool.
yeah. So Liverpool, where do we begin? I mean, I was speaking to a couple of fans, like buddies of mine, and they're on the verge of tears, man. They're real upset about this game, and you know, they want to have Klopp era end in a good light, and 0-3 against Atlanta and then 0-1 against Crystal Palace. I think what I
Yeah.
found most
And
disappointing. Go ahead.
it was a 2-2 draw against Manchester United the game before that.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Man United game.
Then
And
Atlanta, then Palace. Yeah.
correct.
Not
And
been a good week.
yeah, and I think what I was disappointed after that 3-0 game was there weren't enough changes in that Crystal Palace game. The changes don't necessarily mean like rotation changes, or I don't know what it is, right? But Like, there has to be some momentum going into the last part of the season, and they needed to get this game against Crystal Palace. And here's a really fun fact, Harry. Liverpool is the number one team in the Premier League this season that has flipped the scoreline after being down. I don't know how to phrase it better, but they've
Yeah,
been
they
down the
always go
most.
behind.
Yeah, they
Yeah,
always
yeah.
go behind. They're the number one team in the season, in the Premier League that has this stat. So if you put this in a positive light, that means the players have sort of a winning mentality. They don't give up. They're trying to come back and win. But if you put it in a more realistic and, let's say, pessimistic light, it also means Liverpool, there's something wrong here, right? Like, to be a Premier League winning team, you're going to have these struggling games where you come back from behind and, have these amazing comeback Liverpool stories, but you also need to have these easy wins and flying out of the gate 3-0 type of first half type of games. They've been really lacking that. So,
Yeah, I mean, eventually it was going to catch up with them, right? They can't go behind and win every time. Like, eventually this was going to happen. Now, they put 3.5 XG up in this game. So the numbers were there, the chances were there. How on earth they didn't score in this game, I don't quite know. The amount of chances that they missed, or, didn't necessarily miss, but got blocked or worldy saves, I have no idea how they didn't score in this game. So I don't have an issue with their attacking numbers. And I don't have an issue with the fact that I think they will create chances and probably score goals. I'm starting to have a little bit of an issue of how many minutes I think my players are going to play.
yeah, it all comes down to minutes, but yeah, I just want to mention one more thing is that I think Klopp is at fault here. I'm sorry to say this, Liverpool fans, or the coaching staff, let's say, because after that Europa round of 16 first leg versus Sparta Praha, I believe, also to mention that Sheffield United game, they won 6-1 or 5-1. And that second leg was right before that Man United game. And they fielded Salah, Nunes, Gakpo, Endo, Szoboszlai, Robertson, like very, very strong team for no reason. I just do not understand that. They could have rotated that game and then had a strong 11 for United game where they also went to extra time. So it's just adding up these minutes. And I think there were chances to rotate them in that second Sparta game as well as Sheffield United to get them fresh for this last stretch. So it's starting to add up. And now they have the next four games, I believe, all away. So, not an easy schedule. And,
Yeah. I mean, they that Sparta game, and then it was the Man United game, and then it was the international break, right? So I agree they probably could have rested more than they did in that game. And then maybe they wouldn't have lost in the cup, but yeah. The Sheffield United one, yeah, maybe, a few days before Man United again, maybe they should have done a little bit more, but they've done it before, and they're a team that's historically done very well and are very good at just playing a lot of minutes. They naturally play Europe, they know what it's like, they play in every cup competition until almost the end. So I'm not, yeah. I mean, they probably should have rotated more, but I think tactically they're still creating so many chances. Klopp must be pulling his hair out at the amount that they missed. The amount that they missed. So,
So still good in your
yeah.
opinion.
Interesting what, yeah, still good. As I mean, I'm not jumping ship on them, just like I'm not jumping ship on Arsenal. I still think they're a good attack. I still think they're an okay defense. But there's a lot of talk about what the minutes mean on Thursday night, right? Who plays, who starts, who doesn't. But I have no idea what that means. And I've tried to ask people, like those of people looking at Trent, right? Those people looking at Darwin, what is the outcome on Thursday that is good for the double? If he plays, if they start and play 90, then you're like, well, that's a lot of games for them to play. If they start and play 60, Darwin plays 60, you think, well, he obviously still doesn't rate Darwin. He doesn't love his finishing at the moment. If he doesn't start, and then you're like, well, maybe he starts, or maybe he just doesn't like him because he didn't start him in a game where they need three goals. And it's the same for Trent. If he starts and plays 60, you think, well, is he going to start two more games in the space of a week? If he doesn't start, you think, is he ready to start? I look at it with Robbo. I look at it with Diaz, and you can create the narrative how you want. But I think we will be guessing almost just as much on Friday morning after that game as we are now.
Okay. Let's break it down. So Salah is out of the equation, okay? That means there's two spots left. Let's start with
Yeah.
defenders. Let's assume Robertson and Trent are probably going to start because Bradley's injured and there's no need to drop Robbo. I also
Do you
want
think
to,
Trent starts?
well, I want to assume that Klopp's going to still give it a chance to win this game, right? They're not going to give up to, they're not going to field this weak lineup, is what I'm saying.
But Joe Gomez could play. But I agree. I think Robbo will play. I'm not so certain on Trent.
Okay. So let's say Robbo plays. I still think Robbo is a safe option to go for in the next
Yeah.
two Game Week 34. Like, likelihood he starts. Would you agree there?
Yes.
Okay. Let's say Robbo, I mean, Trent gets benched for Gomez. Does that make Trent any more appealing or less? It doesn't,
No.
if anything,
No,
less
because
appealing. No.
all that does to me is it say, well, Trent's not ready. Trent's still
Yeah.
not ready.
Yeah.
Because it was only a week ago in the Atalanta game that he basically said Trent was there to make up numbers. He was nowhere near ready to play any football.
Okay, let's say Trent starts then.
Then I don't think he plays both in the double because I think it's too many minutes for him. Like, I just don't think Trent plays both in the double,
Okay,
basically.
okay. So defender, would you agree? Robbo is probably the outstanding option here. I mean, besides Van Dijk.
I think Robbo and Van Dijk is very close. Because I think there's enough doubt that Robbo doesn't play both games that it boosts Van Dijk up a little bit. If I knew they're both going to start, I'd buy Robbo. But I think there is that 20% doubt in my mind that Robbo doesn't play 60 in both or 90 in both, that Van Dijk gets a little bit higher. So that might be. So, for example, Robbo is one of the players I think we can infer based off Thursday night. If Robbo doesn't start or Robbo plays 60, like, I will probably buy Robbo, or he'll be the defender that I'd recommend buying. If he plays 90, then I'm a little bit unsure. Because the other thing to remember is they, at the moment, it could change. They play 12:30 in game week 35. They play the early kickoff. So it's not only this game, it's this game. Then they play Sunday, then they play Wednesday, then they play 12:30 on Saturday as well. You've got to take that one into account. Now, it
Non-stop.
doesn't impact us in FPL, but it will impact Klopp's decision. Does he play Wednesday or does he then play the 12:30? It's not just as simple as does he play both in the double?
Yeah, and it's all travel. So, yeah, the Trent minutes are definitely shaky. And you imagine if they do come back somehow against Atlanta this game, they're down by three, right? So, I mean, this is crazy, but there might be a likelihood they even go to extra time here. So, a lot of minutes at a lot of minutes under these guys' feet for the next couple of game weeks. So, okay, to wrap it up, it's Trent last and then Robbo plus Van Dijk as your first options defensive wise.
Yeah. I understand why you'd go Trent if you're really
Upside.
chasing, but I just don't think it's a good idea. Yeah.
I mean, personally,
It is a.
I think if he gets like I think if he starts and
Yeah.
gets 60, 70 minutes, it's hard to ignore him. What if the narrative you built
But then
there?
surely he's if let's say he gets that, right? Do you really think he's then going to start Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday? Do you think he'll start all three of those? Let me play devil's advocate here. If he plays Thursday, coming back from injury where he's obviously recurred it before, will he play Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday? Is that going to happen? Is he going to start all four of those games?
I mean,
It's a lot to
probably
ask.
not, but you're
Okay,
just
well, if
betting
he's.
on two games, you know?
Yeah, but
Like
the
you
what in
think,
my mind
yeah.
makes sense is you miss one of the ones in the middle.
Right. You play
Like
full on.
you don't play three in a row and then miss the last one. You miss one of the ones in the middle, which is the two in the double.
Which is Everton.
But it's possible he plays Sim for 60 in all of them and Joe Gomez plays 30 in all of them. But I think they'll look at that Everton game and think they can beat like that without Trent.
Yeah, I
But
guess.
maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm trying to think he's not a good idea, but I could afford him. And it's not just me saying, oh, I want him to be a bad pick because I can't buy him. Like, I could buy him this week very easily, but I don't think I will. I think I'll buy Robbo instead.
Just Robbo just doesn't give me those attacking vibes, for some reason.
He's been all right. And when, if Gomez starts at fullback, he does take some set pieces, so some corners. I don't hate it. Sunline data's not, it's okay. Like, it's fine. Then maybe go Van Dijk. Like, I have no problem with buying Van Dijk at all.
No, I mean, I would still pick Robbo over Van Dijk, but
Van
anyways,
Dijk is
yeah.
a monster. Like,
I know. Set pieces, yeah.
I went to that Liverpool game against Atalanta, and watching that and watching the FA Cup final against them, when you're there, like, the guy is huge. Like, the guy is such a presence on that football pitch, more than any player I can possibly remember ever seeing on a football pitch. Like, the presence he has, both defending and at set pieces, is terrifying. I would not have a problem at all about buying Van Dijk. And if he scored in the double, I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
Yeah.
he is that good. So I have no problem with Van Dijk. I'd probably go Robbo, just the nature of buying a fullback over buying a centre back, but I don't think there's loads in it.
That is true. Even that Crystal Palace game, he was demand commanding in the air, and it always seems like he has at least one chance off a set piece. So,
Yeah, always, always.
That's right. Cornerback, ball magnet, Evo.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go attack. So let's say Salah's out of the equation, so there's spot for maybe one or two.
Yeah, let's say one, because let's say you're picking a defender. Let's
Okay,
make
fine.
our lives a little bit more difficult, right?
Okay. I think
I
go ahead,
you
go
go, you go. No, you go.
ahead.
I don't want to say it first.
I still think Diaz. I still think Diaz. And then probably Darwin, sensible play. But I would not fault anybody for picking Jota over Diaz, or over Darwin as that third spot if you were to go triple attack. I think Diaz is most secure for minutes in the best way I can put it. But when he was taken off this game, I was really upset because
I was so surprised.
I owned him too. I get it. So you might think that I'm just pissed because it's my player. But
Yeah.
dude, he was the best on the ball when he got the ball. Like, Salah wasn't that threatening with the ball. Darwin definitely not. Like, at least you had a chance of getting past one defender when you get the ball to Diaz. Why on earth would you keep Curtis Jones on and take Diaz off? That just made no sense for me. So.
I agree. I've not always been a Luis Diaz fan, I think. There's been times where I think he's played, and Jota or Darwin out there would have been better. But I agree. I look at Luis Diaz and think he has to be playing for them, with the amount of chances the other
Yeah.
one's missing. Yeah, I would definitely go Luis Diaz over Darwin. I'd go Luis Diaz over Jota as well. But that early sub this weekend was concerning. I did not
Yes,
see it coming
yeah.
when they were chasing a game, and I didn't think he'd been bad at all.
He was
I
good.
wasn't surprised Darwin came off. I wasn't surprised at all at that, but I was surprised that Luis Diaz came off. Maybe that's a minutes management thing, but
I think it has to be that. Even the first half, he had that incredible jump. Like that volley kick where he almost scored. It's like right there.
yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about Darwin?
It's like shooting, it's like playing darts where it's kind of dark, right? It's like the XG's there, right? So you can see the promised land, the light at the end of the tunnel. But I feel like you're hoping for points here.
Yeah.
Like you're hoping for a haul. And remember, let's say game week 30-ish, when I don't know if you brought him in that time, but I brought Diaz in just because of some format of a big hit structure, and I couldn't get Darwin in at the time. I was a little worried then, right? I was a little worried that,
Yeah.
oh, crap, maybe Darwin is probably the answer, but I'm going Diaz here. In the span of 3 or 4 game weeks, that mentality has totally shifted, where it's like, oh, thank God I brought Diaz in, and I don't mind going up against Darwin. That's the way I feel about Darwin right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not going to buy him. Like, I'm still interested in him and still considering him as a
Yeah,
front
me too.
three, Darwin, Diaz plus Salah. But again, you're kind of shooting in the dark here. Like, it feels like that.
Yeah, what's actually interesting is the one he missed at the weekend that the goalkeeper saved was actually the keeper saved it because he hit it so well, right? If he'd have actually skewed that shot or not caught it cleanly like he did, the ball would have ended up in the back of the net, actually. Which is an ironic one because normally he misses it because he doesn't get a clean connection on the ball. But this one was actually because this one was actually because he struck it so cleanly. Let's see what happens on Thursday evening. I still am unsure about Jota being able to start matches. That's my thing in my back of my head. That when Jota came back from injury, I said that I didn't think Jota would start another game for Liverpool this season because he's such a good impact sub. And I'm not sure he'll ever. I'm not sure Klopp will want to take the risk of starting him in matches. Now, what I didn't foresee is Darwin being regressing, right? Darwin does go through waves where his finishing gets a little bit better, but the past few weeks he has not been at it. He has not been at it. He was also very out of it in the Atalanta game where they lost 3-0 as well. And I didn't foresee that happening. So I now wonder a little bit about whether he'll throw Jota in. So I agree. My plan this week was to do Haaland to Darwin as one of my transfers, and I'm not sure it's worth it. Because even if Darwin starts both in the double, let's say he plays 17 in both games, right? Best case scenario.
Okay.
One of those games, he'll miss chances in, right? He might start finishing well, but the chance of him finishing well in both games is can't be that high, right? So I basically have I feel like I'd be getting one bad game of Darwin and one good game of Darwin. And I'd rather one good game of Haaland than that situation.
It's hard to think that way. I mean, it's really hard to when you have like a double, like those two fixtures on your app. It's hard to like put your brain to think that Haaland will outscore a two-game fixture guy, but I'm with you there. Like, I don't think he hauls. I just don't see the haul. You know, that's how maybe he'll even that goal he nicked in Game Week 33 or Game Week 32, it's like a ridiculous look, right?
Well, that's
But
the thing. If you look at his returns, and this is an easy thing for me to go and say, but if you take away the goal
it's not that
where
good,
the
huh?
keeper smashes it against him, he hasn't returned more than 6 points since game week 21. And that goal he scored against Sheffield United, he got no bonus for it or anything like that. I'm quickly going off him, and I think a lot of people are. And this, naturally will be the week where he decides that he's gonna turn up again, isn't it? But when no one at
Let's give the positive take on it though. Like, but for people that are
He'll start
interested.
one. He'll start at least one, and he'll get chances. Like he will get as many chances as any other player in this double, even if he plays 1.5 games. So if he does finish them, and actually, because so many people are not going to buy him as a result of recent weeks, he'll be a bigger differential than he was going to be this time last week.
In the if you okay, let's do a math equation. If you were to look at just game week 34 in itself with 2 game weeks, would you take as the third option two attacking fixtures in Darwin 70 minutes plus, or two defensive fixtures in either Robbo or Van Dijk, like for like situation?
So if it was literally straight, who do I want? Darwin this week or Robbo this week? I think I'd just about still say Darwin because I'm not certain of the clean sheets. I'm not certain of the clean sheets. But it's not that simple, right? Like I'd rather play a 3-4-3 with Darwin than a 4-4-2 with Robbo. But in a lot of people's situations, and like when we get to my team, we'll talk about it. And we're on a crazy tangent here, but we'll get back to the pod in a moment. Like, would I rather Zabani and Darwin or Robbo and Haaland? Like, that's the situation that I'm in. And I'm like, probably the Haaland route.
All right, let's move on. I think
The
enough
thing
about.
is, the
Go
thing
ahead.
is about Jota is the risk of is it, if he does start one of them, he's a great pick, but we are just uncertain if that's going to be the case. If that's going to be the case.
Let's say we're okay with Jota's, again, last thing. If we're okay with Jota's explosiveness and potential, and likelihood he doesn't start against Atlanta, right? But let's say he gets 30 minutes. Would you be ever so enticed to go for him?
What, if you told me I knew that Jota was going to start one game?
No, you don't know that. You're assuming he gets one start after he gets 20, 30 minutes on Thursday.
The issue is I don't really have space
Yeah.
that much. I mean, I could do it
For free hitters.
for free hitters. There's so many good mids, though.
Yeah,
I
but you.
just, I'm not sure I would do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a huge narrative that Jota is an elite finisher. And I'm not sure it's that true. Like, he did, he missed a massive chance again at the weekend. He looks like a great finisher because Darwin misses so many, right? So when he comes on and he actually scores those chances, like a normal striker would, and a normal good level striker, and I'm not saying Jota's bad by any means, like he is a good finisher, but he looks even better because he often finishes the chances that we're used to seeing Darwin miss.
It's fair,
I'm
yeah.
just not, I just don't know what situation I'd see on Thursday evening. I actually think if Jota starts on Thursday evening, that would really entice me to recommend to buy him because that would say he's ready to start, and then you're presumably going to get a start in the double from him. But
But I still think if you put it that way, Diaz could be just as explosive and more likely to start both games. Hopefully. All right,
cool.
let's do
Right.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a free hit team and then bust teams. So to wrap it up. So yeah, very hyped on Crystal Palace. They look great on the weekend.
Yeah.
I think the main suspects would be, I mean, the main options would be Eze, Mateta, Olise, maybe Munoz on the defense, but
Henderson.
Henderson as well. I mean, they're all exciting. I think even Olise, you cannot just play him down because of his injuries. But Olise actually averages less minutes per FPL point. I think he averages an FPL point every 11 minutes, whereas Eze every 18 minutes. Connection between Eze, Mateta on the left looked really good on my eye test. You know, the question my might have is like, who's the guy starting the attacks? It seems like Eze starts the carry, like ball carrying, and then it feels like Mateta and Olise are there to receive and create and be closer to goal, at least from this game. West Ham, their opponent, they're both, I think, home games, right? So West Ham, no clean sheets since game week 20, and quite weak away from home. Like, most shots on target allowed, or second most shots on target allowed. Joint third most big chances conceded. By the way, these stats are from FPL Mark on FF Scout channel. It's a really, really good article, so I would definitely go check it out. Both West Ham, Newcastle form is improving a little bit, but still there's holes to be had, or holes to attack for Crystal Palace. Olise has been dealing with a hamstring injury pretty much all season, Eze as well. But Eze has still managed to play 22 games this season, and Olise has only played in 13 games this season. So just constant injuries, right? That's the big thing about this point here. If you look at the stat table, this is XGC conceded this season away from home, and you can see West Ham, Newcastle right up there at the top six or worst six. This next one is key passes conceded down the center, which where Mateta lives. And you can see West Ham ever Newcastle. Again, this is away stats right there. On the left too, West Ham second allow the most key chances Newcastle, mid-table there. So that's SA territory.
Yeah.
And I find this, again, this is a great graph by FPL Mark. Wonderful stat to show that they've only played four games together, SA and Elise. And when they play together, Crystal Palace are so good, both on the left and right flank. I really like the look of Elise. And the stats are better for Elise in general if in these four games, but in this last game, SA stats were better than Elise. So it's very tight. I think it comes down to minutes between the two, and SA is just safer in minutes, so you pick him over Elise. But if you
Yeah.
were to on a free hit, I would not mind the SA Elise Mateta triple up, for example. I haven't even mentioned Mateta, but he's getting at least one goal per game, or if he's not getting that goal, it's like an offside or big chance, and he looks confident, right? And that's what you want in FPL players. He just looks really good up top as well.
Yeah. I mean, I have great memories of Eze. I brought him in for 1 week at home, Sheffield United. He scored twice and then got injured again for the next 4 weeks. I think Eze feels like a lock because of the minute security overgoing with Elise. If it was a weekend game and then a following weekend game as part of the double, I would say Elise is another great pick. But I just think it's a little bit too much to ask and be certain that he's going to start both. Now, that goal from Mateta that Robertson cleared off the line, if that had gone in, I think every free hit would have Mateta in. I think everyone would be buying Mateta this week. If he'd have scored against City and Liverpool, everyone would be going to buy him. And I think a lot of people are, but that was a crazy clearance. I really like Mateta. I'm glad I've got him. I will be adding Eze to that. I'm almost certain of it. I love the idea of Elise. A triple up on the attack feels like a maybe a little bit too much. Like, I think there's enough. I feel like you might need to use one of them in your defense or in goal, that the chances of you going triple up on attack is a little bit more difficult. Now, that might depend on if someone like Ait Nouri is available or if you're going to go double Arsenal defense. But I think two Palace attackers feels like feels like it's going to be very, very popular. And triple up is going to be in 50% of teams this week. So yeah, Eze I like. Eze's top, Mateta second, Elise third.
I think so, but I think it's a lot more closer than people expect it to be. And I will say this, I don't mind you picking Mateta over. I mean, I'm not trying to be wild here. Like, I'm really confident in Mateta. Like, I feel like he's 1B to Eze's 1A, if you know what I mean. But,
No, I really like him.
and even if you watch this
Just
game, Elise looked fantastic. So I wouldn't fault
yeah.
anybody for going for him. Like, he looked just as good as Eze, is what I'll say.
Yeah, it's just the minutes. Like, I think he'll start if he starts both. I think he gets 65 minutes in both,
Yeah.
which, is fine, but it's not exactly what you want. But the reason I wouldn't triple up on the attack is I think Dean Henderson is the best goalkeeper for the double. If you're not going Liverpool and you're not going Arsenal, Dean Henderson is the third best keeper for the double and probably the best actual keeper because you're going to use your Arsenal Liverpool spots on other things. So that's the reason I wouldn't triple up. Is I'd probably use one of the options in defense or in goal.
Okay, let's do. Should we do a free hit team?
Yeah, you've got to remember as well, as Ivo
Sorry.
is saying, yeah, go to the free hit teams. West Ham have to play on Thursday night and then have to go to Palace.
Nice.
The only thing is Newcastle have the weekend off before they play Palace. That's the only thing to remember. They'll have had a week and a half to prepare for this game because they have no fixture this weekend because they're not in the cup. So yeah, that's the only thing on the Newcastle game, but the West Ham game looks great.
Okay, so this is a non-template free hit team that I made, and I got very excited about the triple Crystal Palace attack. So you could fit in like a Robbo or Trent in that defense if you want to do this. Again, this goes to double Arsenal defense,
Yeah.
which is not probably not the template for a free hit team. So there's just a select amount of players you can pick from. Moving one piece, like for example, getting rid of one Arsenal defender means you have to get rid of Olise, which means you have to bring in another defender, probably a Crystal Palace defender. So it all kind of works hand in hand, right? So I don't think the free hit is too hard this week. There are some definitely certain picks, some sleeper picks like Mateta, and I would just have fun with it. You know, if you're chasing, chase a bit. You know, if you're in a good position, play it safe, but also have some exciting picks in there. But no matter how much we talk, it's like how much do you value minutes or how much do you value upside in a Jota, for example. So I think pretty straightforward.
Yeah, the team looks nice. I wouldn't own Pickford. As a Pickford owner, I wouldn't have Pickford on a free hit. Like, I'd go Henderson or I'd go Jose Sarr, right? I mean, it's a minor thing, right? I just watching them on Monday night, they look truly horrific, and I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet in either. So I'd go for one of the others. Yeah, I probably wouldn't go Elise. I'd probably, I'd drop Ben White, go Havertz, Saka, and then maybe go Munoz or Aitor if he's going to be available or something like that in defense. But yeah, you're building very, very similar. The thing with the free hit draft is all it takes is one change, right? Like, if you change Pickford to, let's say you do Pickford to Henderson, well, then you can't have Elise. So then in that Elise spot, you're going to have Havertz. But then if you have Havertz, you can't have the double defense. So then Gabriel comes out. Then you're going to have to put someone else in that Gabriel spot. So every one change you make, like, ticks over into several. But it's a very, like, triple Palace, triple Liverpool, triple Arsenal, Solanke, and one more. There is one player actually who we haven't mentioned, and we really should,
Okay.
and that is Ben Brereton-Diaz of Sheffield
Yep,
United,
yep.
at home to Burnley, away to Man United. He's starting to get a lot of traction actually. I saw Scoutcast talking about him. I saw a few people on Twitter with free hit drafts with him in. It's a nice double. It is a nice double. Man United game is also a few days after they play in the FA Cup semi final. Now they are playing Coventry, but that'll be a full strength Man United team. So you could do, like, you could go at least you could go Henderson in goal here instead of Pickford, and then just go Ben Brereton-Diaz and keep the double Arsenal defense if you like. He'll be a differential, and he'll be a really nice one. And as Frost Bottler said, we are however long into this pod, and we haven't asked anyone to like or subscribe as well. So if you haven't already and you're enjoying, please like and subscribe. And if you are listening on podcast, give us a 5-star review. And thank you for the support. But yeah, bus teams.
Well done, well done. Bus teams. This is my team here. I have two free transfers for the podcast listeners. I have Pickford in goal. Back line, Saliba, Gabriel, Aitnori. In the midfield, Luis Diaz, Salah, Saka, Son. Up top, Haaland, Solanke, and Mateta. So, obviously, Son is gone, and we didn't speak much about Spurs and the shambolic state they're in, but probably bring him in for Game Week 35, maybe not. But basically, the cash cow, so I can really go anywhere after I sell him. He definitely will go. Son to Eze is just a no-brainer pick, so that's that. And then what I do with that second one is where I'm really struggling with, because I get the argument that it's okay to play with Haaland, but just part of me wants to have 11 doublers, Harry. Just the nature in me. And so what I could do is Haaland to Darwin, do a 3-4-3, or I could do either even Zabarni to Rabo or Trent or Van Dijk. So that's probably the most likely two moves I'll make. The one that I will make the Darwin move if I know for sure Aitnori starts. Literally my favorite player in this team is Aitnori. Like, I just love watching him play right now as that, left winger. I know Hong is back. I know he's coming off basically two injury setbacks in the last two game weeks. So, have you heard anything about his situation?
I mean, we're expecting him in the squad at the weekend, so I'd expect him to be back for the double. Whether he starts both in the double, I don't know, but he should be back. I agree. Like, if Aitnori's fine, you definitely do. I'd probably do the forward move. The only thing I want to ask about this team is, have you considered the bet if Aitnori's fit, right? Have you considered a bench boost?
No.
Because
Okay, go ahead.
if you did, let's say you got two free transfers, right? Son to Eze, Taylor to a Liverpool defender, and then Areola to a doubling keeper for a minus four would give you a bench boost of a doubling keeper, Zabanyi, Aitnori. Oh no, doubling keeper, Zabanyi, Palmer, Haaland for a minus four.
I didn't consider it because Areola is not a double gaming player in place already.
Yeah,
So
it would be a hit.
I just don't like that hit. And if I had double keepers, for example, Pickford plus Henderson for in my situation right now, I would definitely consider it. I would definitely consider it. But
Because the reason that a free hit, a bench boost this week, I do quite like is I love the idea of a game week 37 bench boost, right? But it does mean that I won't own any Liverpool or Arsenal going into game week 38 when they play Everton at home, Wolves at home. So I think there is a lot of merit that your bench boost might score less points, but in game week 37, you could bench double Liverpool, double Arsenal, and then you'll be very different to people on the final day of the season. I probably wouldn't do it in your position, but I don't think it's as, I think it's something worth considering if we heard that Aitnori was going to be fine. Because Haaland, Palmer, Zabanyi, Henderson, you need them four combined to score 20 points if you're
20
going to take a
points.
hit for it. Zabanyi's going to score two or three, right? So you need 17 from Palmer, Haaland, and a double game week keeper, or 16 from that. Like, it's pretty borderline. It's pretty borderline, and your bench in 37 will probably outscore it, but it would allow you to go Liverpool and Arsenal on your wild card that, like, I won't do because I need to play my bench boost.
If we wild card in 35, what's the likely bench we'll have in 37?
My bench is, I mean, I have a screenshot
Just
somewhere, but it's like Dan Burn with a double, Onana with a double, like Garnacho with a double, and then like Udogie with a double or something like that.
yeah, I'll play around with it. Let's see where we're at, but
Yeah. Thing is, you might get to the double in 37 and everyone's finished for the season and no one plays twice.
yeah. I don't mind it. I want to play around with it and see if it's
Yeah.
worth a minus four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. And
Before we
then my
do
team is.
Harry's team, guys,
Sorry.
please do like the stream and subscribe to FF Scout channel. Your support is very great. We're very grateful for your support. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah. Yeah, so my team's similar, but I don't have Aitnori. So I have the choice of. I have the choice of. I'm just Sant Eze, like, guaranteed, pretty much. Unless something gets said in the press conference, Sant Eze. That will leave me one free transfer. I can do one of two things. Well, I can actually do one of three things, but I don't really want to sell Palmer because I think I lose 0.5 value in it, and that just doesn't feel worth it. So, as much as I actually like those midfield options, I don't think I'll do that. So, I can do Haaland to Darwin or Haaland to Cunha. Or I could do Zabani to a Liverpool defender and just play Haaland. And I only started thinking about that this morning. And I do wonder if that's actually the best thing to do. Do wonder if that's the sensible thing to do. I've always wanted 11 doublers for this week. But I'd look at that Zabani double and I don't expect much from him. So.
Yeah, you
And
just
I
want to
like
make that
Haaland this
spot
week.
very optimal. And Holland's going to be, must be a differential this week, yeah?
Yeah, and if I do that, my team looks almost the same as most, like very similar to free hit teams, apart from I have Haaland and they have Darwin or Cunha. Like, that's the only real difference. And if that's the only real difference, like, that's fine for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably not a differential, but definitely lower EO than usual.
He'll be below 70%. Because 30, 25% of people will free hit and not have him. And at least 15% will not play him this week or sell him. So, yeah, maybe I just play him. Maybe I just play him.
I think the transfer should be I think focused on that third defensive spot as well for people like us. Like
Yeah, like, is Robbo Haaland or Zabani Darwin a better choice? Surely Haaland Robbo, right? I think. Let's see what happens on Thursday, but at the moment I actually think I might do the defender swap. Which I mean, I wouldn't sell Zabanyi. I'd sell Doughty and bench Zabanyi. But yeah, it's the same thing.
So you think if Aitnori is fine, I'm sorry, I'm going back to my team.
Yeah, I'd play him. Oh yeah,
Obviously, I'd play
I'd
him,
consider the
but
bench boost.
instead,
Because you'd be bench boosting Haaland, Palmer,
yeah.
Zabanyi, and a double defense,
Instead of
and a double,
selling Haaland for Darwin.
It's I don't know if I'd do it, but it's something I, the first thing I would consider looking at your team.
Interesting. Okay, that's a wrap, guys. Over an hour.
Yeah,
Unfortunately,
I'm
I
not
have
going
to
to sell
go.
Pickford. Those are people asking on Pickford. I'm not going to sell him.
Yeah, no need.
Yeah, I'll stick him out for the double. But yeah, he got me 8 points against Burnley. That's where we are with it.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. Really, really appreciate it, especially at the latter part of the season when people are tuning out to see this many viewers today is,
Yeah.
it's awesome. So, really appreciate it. Really appreciate the constant support for Burning Questions. Shout out to FPL Mo, who I forgot to change the name here today, but he's been filling in my shoes for many episodes this season. So I appreciate that, Mo. Harry, you've been wonderful as usual. Just a few episodes left for the rest of the season, so I wish
Yeah.
everybody good luck this week. Let's get those green arrows. And any final words?
No. Good luck this week. It's a double. We'll be back at some point next week. Of course, it'll be mid-game week, but we'll be here to look for the remainder of the season. And we'll both be on wildcard next week. So we'll have a wildcard special for you next week, which should be exciting. But yeah, I'll be tinkering as soon as that deadline changes on Saturday lunchtime.
Yeah, another big pod next
Thank you
week.
all. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you guys. See you next week.
Bye.